Welcome to Coinology, the podcast.
You ain't getting no money if you constantly worried about what everybody else got to say. If you constantly got your eyes on what everybody else doing, you ain't getting no money. When it comes down to closing a deal, I get it done. Every single one.
Welcome to Coinology, the podcast. Hey, welcome to another episode of Coinology. And I am here with none other than Mr. Stevie Bags. Welcome to our studio.
Listen, it's just that, Evelyn. It's a Stevie Bags.
Oh, okay.
I've done a number of podcasts. The energy in here, sis, but oh man, the feng shui is just, it's beautiful.
Well, thank you for coming
thank
out,
you.
And I appreciate those words.
Not sure.
We've been talking about this for a while. I've been trying to get you in here on this podcast seat for a minute, but the time is now, right?
Yes, yes.
Now, it's now. And I think now we have so many things that we can talk about that we probably couldn't talk about 6 months ago.
Well, that's Delta gives us, a confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
The Most High gives affirmation.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. State Farm can give you insurance.
Okay.
But then the Most High gives you assurance.
Yep.
So it's like it's an assurance that we were here today. It's affirmation that we're here today. And it was a reason why we're here at this time. So
right on time.
I'm excited for it. Sis, you know, we were talking before and like the things that you were saying, it's just beautiful the way your mind is and what you're thinking and how you're thinking. And I'm excited to even see what else you have to say.
Look, I'm ready. You know, as we talked about before, to be invited to sit in that seat, you had to have caught my attention. And it had to be something that made you stand out from the masses. Because I only invite the top 10% of individuals in their respective fields. What people may know you for is being an NFL player.
Mm-hmm.
Some may know now that you're an actor.
Right.
Many probably don't know about your philanthropy.
Right.
We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
And then we're just going to talk about the man, the family, everything that makes up who Stevie Bags is and why you've chosen the life that you've chosen to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So let's go all the way back. Stevie, where are you from?
Pompano Beach, Florida.
Okay.
South Florida. Small town in Broward County. In between Miami and Palm Beach.
Okay.
And I'm such a proud Floridian. I'm such a proud South Floridian, to be specific. And, you know, I grew up with love. I grew up with a family that was caring.
Mm-hmm.
We were close-knit. My cousins was like my brothers.
Okay.
And still are to this day.
Mom and Dad were together?
Mom and Dad were together for the first 14 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were together. And although every day wasn't Sunday, it was more good than bad. And the number one thing, the number one attribute that I got from my parents was love and leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was nothing else but that. Respect, discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Like those attributes, I can appreciate. Not only just from my parents, but from the surrounding people in the village, in the tribe that were helping to rear me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had neighbors that, you know, we used to play a game called Negro knock.
Mm-hmm.
We won't say it other word. But it was Nick, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we were knocking the door and run out.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, you would have a neighbor to say, hey, nah, you know your mom and daddy don't play that.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you cussing or you walking down. And so that type of stuff, that's different. We don't, you know, a lot of the times we don't have that anymore
that's
in our communities.
Right.
And so I take those types of things in my upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
I hold those near and dear. Of course, I grew up in the church, Christian, Pentecostal at that.
Okay.
And I respect that path and that part of my journey as well.
So it sounds like you had a clean cut, leave it to Beaver childhood.
In the hood, though.
Okay, it was in the hood. Okay.
Not in the hood to the like projects hood, but it was hood. It was
right.
all melanated neighborhood. It was dog, you know, it was fights. It was the
so
lights was off.
You...
The lights was off sometimes.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
You know,
it was yeah. Okay. So how did you stay? How did you keep your nose clean though? How did you not get yourself in trouble?
I was chosen.
Okay.
I was chosen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I tell everybody. A lot of people are called. There's a difference between being called and being chosen.
Did you know that when you were a kid that you were different?
I did.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're not grounded and convicted in it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
But you knew you were different. Not just because you play football. No. But you knew that you were different. You
outside of any athletic anything, because I wasn't the one child that was like in 7, 8 years old, oh, we know he's going to the league. Mm-hmm. I wasn't that guy.
Oh, so you weren't. Most of the guys that I know that play football, back in the, when they were like.
When they came out the womb.
Pee Wee League and all, everybody screaming, Stevie.
I had
Stevie.
The attributes.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. I won't say that. Mm-hmm. I could run. I was smart. Boom, boom. But football was not necessarily a very important thing to us, even though I played it. If
so
that
what,
makes sense.
What age were you when you started playing? Seven.
In Florida, football is like a religion in itself.
Mm-hmm. I was afraid to let my son play football. I let him play basketball and baseball and so forth. But I was afraid about the contact.
For good reason.
Uh-huh. And especially now what we're seeing and learning for about that. I was really afraid of that. Because, you know, I come from the town of Mike Vick and Allen Iverson. I grew up with all of them. So, just to kind of see them move on in the lives that they have, but then to see some folks who weren't as lucky because of the concussions and things of that nature.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you started at 7 years old, and at seven.
Tackle football, because you can start at seven playing flag.
Right.
Which is what some people do now with their children if they still want them in the game. I just want to interject that. Yep. You're right, it was tackle. So from seven, you know, to when I got done, you're talking about many, many years of traumatic brain injury.
Right.
And we could talk about that, but I want you to get to your point.
Yeah, so, seven, and then on to high school. Were you considered that guy, the rookie?
Yeah, high school. In high school, I broke the single season state sack record.
Okay.
In Florida, which you know.
All eyes on Stevie.
26 quarterback sacks in one season, my senior year. So I thought I was going to any school in the nation. Mm-hmm. And my talent deserves that. But the Most High seen another journey for me.
So what happened?
If I would have done what I did at my high school in Orlando, Altamont Springs to be specific, if I would have done what I did at Lake Brantley at Ely, which is a school I would have went to in Pompano, if I would have got 13 sacks, I would have went anywhere in the country. Mm-hmm. Same division, Class 6A, which is the highest at the time, 6A football, which is the hardest division to play on or the most respected. Still 6A ball. The game before state, my team made it to the game before the state championship. So we were a very good team. Mm-hmm. So, like, you're talking about all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. We lost to the champions that year. Anyway, they respected the level of competition more if I would have went to a black high school. But then when I went to a HBCU college and did the same thing at an even a greater rate, three-time All-American, Black College Player of the Year, 40 quarterback sacks, you know, an NCAA record for tackles for loss in a season and in a career. You're talking about stuff that still stands today. So I won the same awards: Jerry Rice, Walter Payton, Michael Strahan, Black Mel Blunt, Black College Defensive Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm gone.
So let's go back to the high school though.
Okay.
So you're saying that if you had went to a white high school, no, if you had went to a black high school, you would have been able to go to any school that you wanted.
Absolutely.
So did you?
Not just a blanket statement like that. I'm saying it because the school that I went to specifically, Ely, where I would have went in Pompano, you talk about it's like NFL royalty. My town is NFL royalty.
So anyway, why didn't you go to Ely?
Because my parents got a divorce. So I left Pompano and I went to Orlando. Mm-hmm. Or Altamont Springs. Mm-hmm. So my dad was still in Pompano every summer. Every time I went home, I went, you know, training down there with him. My training was Tony Sands. Like, you know, I was down there in that space.
So they just recruit differently at black schools?
Pompano Beach, South Florida, period, is known for football. Mm-hmm. And that my particular school, Ely, we had 6-7 guys in the NFL during my time in high school and when I was in college. Mm-hmm. So they're like, if somebody's balling down there, they can go wherever.
So why didn't you move with dad?
I didn't know. See, okay. I
it wasn't somebody, you needed
I didn't have the information.
Somebody.
I'm just thinking, man, it doesn't matter. The politics of it shouldn't matter.
You think I'm just good.
I'm putting in work.
Right.
I'm leading the state in sacks. down there and up here.
So when did you find out in high school that, wait a minute, I'm not getting the offers that I would have gotten?
I didn't know that until even I got to college.
Okay. Okay.
Until like later on when I look back, even with what I was explaining about my college career, when I look back, I'm like, wow, if I would have done that, it could have been different. So it was a number of things that happened that you just don't know how to tap into it, if that makes sense, because you don't have the information.
You don't have the information and somebody there to guide you.
Mentors. That's why I tell everybody you have to have mentors, not just in one area of your life, every area of your life. And now that I have mentors, they can point out your BS. Mm-hmm. They can tell you when you need to tighten up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just to get the information, you know.
So would you have, you said you went to a HBCU.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have chosen differently?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
No. The journey is the journey.
So what about the kids that say, because I was talking to a mom yesterday. Her son is doing pretty well. He's over at Clark. Mm-hmm. But her concern is that he's doing well at Clark. He's playing football at Clark. But she doesn't think he's going to get the opportunities because he's playing at Clark.
And he's not. He's not going to get the same. He could be just as good or better than a guy who plays at a PWI or a Power 5 school.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way in the world as a business you're going to go give him what you can. Like, it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get you for the low, why would I pay a high price for it?
Right.
Nobody else knows you. Nobody else doesn't probably look at you in that light.
Even if you're the bomb player that you can come into this NFL team and make a difference.
I have two teammates, two safeties that played with me.
Mm-hmm.
Rasheem Mathis and Nick Collins, they both got drafted in the second round coming from an HBCU.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everyone knows that in order to make plays on the field, as a team, it's usually a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
Rasheem Mathis led the nation in interceptions his senior year. I was coming off the edge for that. I'm coming off the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Not to take away from what he does, because he was great at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Nick. Nick came and replaced Rasheem as a safety. He did the same thing. Almost led the nation in picks, interception, return for touchdown, all crazy stuff. Both these guys had long NFL careers. Nick won the Super Bowl, you know, scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl, all that. But I'm saying all that to say, if those guys would have went to PWIs, they would have got drafted in the first round. Period.
So a child coming from Clark, would they get drafted at all?
He can get drafted. If there's enough people that he has a better chance of getting drafted nowadays than any other time. Because there's just so much eyes on everywhere and HBCUs alike.
So why does it matter if you get drafted and pick one or, you know, pick and draft one or two? Why does it matter? Is the money different?
The money's different. So football is the only sport where the contracts aren't guaranteed.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Your signing bonus determines your importance to the organization. So the higher your signing bonus, the more important they feel like you're going to be for them and to them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get drafted in the first round, I'm going to just throw out numbers. You might get 20 million, 15 million first round. A person in the seventh round, which is the last round, he might get 100,000, 30,000, depending on, you know. If I get drafted in the first, second, third round, typically those guys are going to make the team. If they draft you in fourth, fifth, sixth, you can make the team too, but your chances are going to be a lot more, you know. You're going to have to put in a lot more effort in and open a lot more eyes because they, you know, or they maybe stole you. Like some people are steals, and the teams know that they're good, and I'm not going to draft you high anyway because you went to Clark or because you were a second round.
I'm going to put you a fourth or fifth round and just to pay you less and put you in. And I know I'm going to put you.
I know you're going to play for me but I just got you for the low.
Wow.
That's it's called a business. Show business.
Show business. So which round did they draft you?
I was a free agent. And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Another thing moving in it. Okay. I played in a blue-gray game. I played in another game back then. It was a Las Vegas All-Star game. These All-Star games, you have the Senior Bowl is the creme de la creme, Alabama. Back then you had the Shrine Bowl and the Blue-Gray Bowl. They were kind of both on the same level. These are where you bring the best college players to play against each other in like an all-star game for colleges.
Mm-hmm.
right? And so now I get to see the best players against the other best players in the country, and I get your NFL grades from that. Mm-hmm. So it's unheard of to have 21 NFL teams at an HBCU. Unheard of. 21 teams came my year. Mm. And guess where I was at?
Where?
I was back in Pompano because my agent at the time told me not to go to my pro day because I had tweaked my hamstring. I was training,
wow.
right? I tweaked my hamstring. He said, Stevie, don't go to your pro day. My classmates and teammates called me like, bro, this dude just thought I was you. Everybody's trying to figure out where you at. Where you at? It's 21 teams here. 21 out of the 32 teams came to a HBCU.
How did that make you feel?
I was distraught. At that time, I still didn't know the importance. That's crazy.
Uh-huh.
That's how crazy it was.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, it's 21 teams. Not being cocky or anything, but okay, they came to see me. I couldn't run, but they see the film.
Mm-hmm.
They saw me at the All-Star games. They
so
don't.
You thought they were still going to say, oh, we want Stevie Bags.
Man, them people.
And they went on to the next folks.
Them people didn't even draft me, man. And I was the strongest linebacker in the draft that year.
So when you did not get drafted... Where did that send you mentally?
When you've worked your life to get to a place and you know you deserved it.
Right.
No, I don't think. It's not innuendo or conjecture.
Mm-hmm.
I know that mm-hmm. I put in the work to be drafted in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
It's not two of y'all better than me
mm-hmm.
that's playing my position.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what happens? You go to a dark place. Because it's not just one day. So here I am with my family, we all together. I'm thinking I'm getting drafted. We had Dave and Buster's or something like that. And the irony behind it, a guy that I made All-State with as a senior in high school, he was at the same Dave and Buster's, and his name is Jonathan Vilma. And I'll never forget it. And he played middle linebacker, even though I was a pass rusher. We both played linebacker. I saw him because he got drafted, I think, the first round that year.
Oh.
And I know we may all stay together, bro. I know you're not head and shoulders better than me.
Do you think that there was a setup behind that?
Spiritually, absolutely.
Yeah.
Spiritually, I see it now.
Right.
Back then, as a young man who know that you're better than people who are making way more money than you or who have an easier path to where you're trying to get to, I recognize why the resilience is there and why the drive and the stick-to-itiveness, and I will never, ever give up. Is in my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that now.
Mm-hmm.
And I also recognize the power of finding my value outside of being an athlete, artist, or entertainer.
And I know that was hard because that was what you were probably known for your entire life up until that point.
Absolutely. And that's what you're praised for.
Right.
Like so, people don't give, hey man, that's my favorite doctor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that's true.
You know?
When you walk in the room, they know that's
Come
Stevie
on.
So mentally, though, how did you find yourself? How did you get out of that dark space?
When you find out your value, then you can find
but
out
how
your
you
worth.
Find your value in that. You're young.
Yeah.
And you're being told, because if your value is based on the rounds in which you were drafted and that was not your situation, how do you process that?
Okay. So when you're a one percenter in your thinking,
mm-hmm.
which I feel myself to be that, meaning not that I'm smarter than anyone else, but society teaches us what to think, but not how to think.
Mm-hmm.
I've been chosen to have a question in my mind on how to think differently than everybody else. Mm-hmm. And this has been since I come out of the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And coming up in the background that I've come up in, you talking about all black neighborhood, Pentecostal church, a uncle that blew somebody's brains out.
Mm.
You talking about a dad who was a functioning cokehead his whole life. You talk about even when we was in the church.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Like mm-hmm. I'm seeing all this. I'm downloading all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I still made it. Not once. Not as a football player. Not as an actor. Not as an author. Not as an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
You talking about multidimensional. That means you got to have a different mindset. So everybody's not may not tap into when you say you can never fucking give up.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take no for an answer. You can't take no for an answer. Like there's something that has to click in your mind and in your heart to say that that's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's when you really take your mind and your spirit to another level.
How long did it take you to get there?
I think I'm still not there.
You still, okay.
It's every day.
So do you still have to process, do you still have PTSD from that day and that moment?
No.
You are over that.
I have no trauma and no drama.
So you are over it.
I have no trauma and drama.
Okay.
But I still have to process how to surpass my this realm of thinking. Uh-huh. I still got to know if somebody cut me off in the highway, keep you cool. Mm-hmm. I still got to know that I got to give you the power to disrespect me. Right? I have to allow you that power.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a process still. Because, mm-hmm. I'm a warrior at heart. Mm-hmm. I had to fight my whole life. I got suspended 10 times in the sixth grade for fighting because people were jealous of my light. Mm-hmm. See, I didn't know that at the time. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, damn, mm-hmm. every time I go to another level, it's like different people, but they giving the same energy. If somebody doesn't know their value, they'll never respect yours.
That's right. Or if they do know your value.
Or if they hate their value. Mm-hmm. If I hate me, mm-hmm. but I see you loving you. Mm-hmm. I had 415s in my Tahoe. And I was banging church music, like, you know, with the bass, boom. Mm-hmm. We fall down, boom. Then they like, what's wrong with him?
Mm-hmm. And that was processing for you.
And when I was a Christian, mm-hmm. when I was religious, I was the biggest one you could think of. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna tell you about my path.
So when you just said something big there, you said was.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
So, and you were born and raised in the church, Pentecostal.
Absolutely.
And you said was. Mm-hmm. What do you classify yourself as today?
The same thing as the Creator.
Which is?
There's no religion.
There's no religion.
What can a religion do for you that the Most High can't do for you? Mm-hmm. The last time I checked, religions are man-made. They're isms and osms. Anytime mm-hmm. you hear ism and osm, you have to know that it's man-made. Mm-hmm. So when I let go of tradition, I found truth. When I let go of religion, guess what I found?
What, peace?
Righteousness.
Okay.
When I let go of religion, I found righteousness. And so peace comes with righteousness.
Let's talk about that. So when you say let it go, what mm-hmm. did let it go mean to you?
So if you hold your hand like this and you're squeezing okay. something, mm-hmm. Now I'm grabbing it. But if I let it go, it's gone. Mm-hmm. And if it's real, it's going to boomerang. I do that with people. Mm-hmm. I do that with places. I do that with things. Mm-hmm. Because if it's real, I can let it go. And it'll come with a boomerang. Mm-hmm. So with truth doesn't have a political party, mm-hmm. a religion. It just is what it is.
What age were you when you decided that my upbringing mm-hmm. was not going to be my end? When did you decide to change?
I think Ebony, that's always been there. Because here's the thing, and I'm so thankful for this. My family, we always had things. Mm-hmm. Even though we was in a all melanated neighborhood, and mm-hmm. every day one Sunday, the house might have been 1,000 square feet. You know, it's that type of vibe. Mm-hmm. In Florida, you was rich if you had a 2-story house. To us,
I remember those
like,
days.
We like, dang, man, like, whoa! Because you know we only got basements in South Florida. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So somebody have a 2-story house, boy, we think they up. So that you mm-hmm. you got to think that's a mindset. You know? Mm-hmm. But we had my dad had a Jaguar and a Cadillac. My mom had a Hyundai. You know, we were cool. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, I'm not driven by things. Mm-hmm. Even though I like nice things like we all do, mm-hmm. and it's cool to be flying, dressing, but man, I'm not literally moved by that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
But going back to your religious or your spirituality, what do you think about when people talk about crystals and sage and meditation and thinking on your own ancestors? What do you think about that? What are your thoughts on that?
Let's go by down the list.
Okay.
So let's attack ancestors.
Okay.
Ancestors, another word for ancestors is angels.
Angels.
Sage, when you think about sage and frankincense and myrrh, they gave this to their Jesus. Mm-hmm. So now it's wrong? Mm-hmm. When you think about Pleiades and Orion's belt, when I read Job, I seen Job talking about Pleiades and Orion's belt. That's the solstice. Mm-hmm. These people were connected to what's going on with the solar system.
Mm-hmm. The three wise men follow the stars.
I'm talking about celestial consciousness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you can't go outside in the sun and see when it's about to be, when it's noon, or when it's not, when it's about to get dark, or if you can't go outside and appreciate getting grounded and put taking your shoes off and getting in the grass and, or hugging a tree, I mean, what is life about? I thought the burning bush. Let's talk about the burning bush, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right? I mean, Genesis 1:29, I gave you every seed-bearing fruit and seed-bearing plant. So now, what do we have against plants? Mm-hmm. And so now I went angels to ancestors. Mm-hmm. Hell, they the ones who mention Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with no ghosts. Mm-hmm. I want to deal in the spiritual realm, and I don't want to call it a ghost. I'd rather call it spirit, frequency, energy, vibration, or angel.
Because even when because in Christianity, the word use of the word energy considered.
It's like, so this is how you know, when you think about it, Ebony, every religious sect thinks that they're right. Mm-hmm. And I no longer care to be right. I look at being righteous.
And what does righteous mean?
When you're in the presence of righteousness, you feel it and you know it, and you mm-hmm. can see it both physically and intangibly, mm-hmm. intuitively. Mm-hmm. When the sun don't have to announce itself, you know it's always dark outside.
When they walk in, you know
it's always dark mm-hmm. outside. Mm-hmm. It's dark outside right now,
but the sun is out.
Darkness has to submit to the light. Mm-hmm. So and the light didn't even announce itself; mm-hmm. it just showed up.
So did you have a mentor or somebody that introduced you to this way of thinking?
I've had so many schools and mentors in my whole life. Even before I recognized it, this is good because I didn't even recognize it. Like different coaches or different professors or different friends I may have run into mm-hmm. along my path. And some people see your light before you see it. Because mm-hmm. sometimes we're blinded by our own light.
That's right.
The people closest to you can be blinded by your light too, but we're also blinded by our own light. And I always say that because you can get in the way of yourself, you know, and you can't see you. You can't see the back of you right now. I can. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So because we can't always see ourselves, sometimes we don't even give ourselves enough credit.
So let me ask you this, did your parents and your family, when you announced or they saw this change in you, mm-hmm. did they immediately say, what's going on with Stevie? What's going on with him? He's now into the dark side. You know, what was their response to that?
Not my mom and dad specifically, but I've had cousins call me an atheist. Mm-hmm. Boy, I don't believe God real. I know God real. Mm-hmm. See, the only things that you have faith in and things that you believe in are things that you don't know. In the middle of the word belief is the word lie. Mm-hmm. Lie and beliefs are all shaped from religion and television or pop culture. Mm-hmm. But I use television because in the middle of the word television, I say it's lie. It's telling a lie and a vision. Mm-hmm. In the middle of religion is L-I, which is lie. If you can pronounce L-I, it's lie. Mm-hmm. So, and we can talk about the English language and we'll break that down too. Mm-hmm. But if religion and television shape your belief system, and if we should know the truth, then the truth should make us free, mm-hmm. then why are we not free? Because we've been taught lies. Mm. And when you hear the truth and feel the truth and see the truth, it shall make you free.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, so you were then a free agent? Mm-hmm.
My parents... Because you asked about my parents. So I had family that thought I was an atheist. And I'm like, I don't believe in God. I know God to be real.
Well, you know, many people are taught, you either believe my way or you are a Satanist or atheist, right? And most people who aren't educated think that atheists are Satanists.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
And then some people think if you're not Christian and you're a Buddha, you are saying they just think that anything that's not what they believe is
not on point, right? So how divine is that way of thinking? I'm not talking down on nobody, but I'm just asking questions, y'all. Like, if somebody doesn't think like me and I automatically tell you that you're wrong, how divine is that energy?
But if they're telling you you're wrong because they believe that they're saving you, you must be saved.
Right.
So that is why they're so, firm on what mm-hmm. they believe and how they believe, because they believe that they must save you from yourself.
I know, that's a funny one. That's a funny one, because oftentimes people are already, they oftentimes look for saviors and salvations from without instead of within. Like, the most powerful words in the English language starts with IN, intellect, intimacy, insecurities, mm-hmm. information, right? We can mm-hmm. go on. But it starts within. We always look without. It's called energy, not outergy. Mm-hmm. Insecurity, not out security. Mm-hmm. You can't blame these people for you being insecure. Mm-hmm. I have to give you the power to make me insecure. Mm-hmm. Just like I have to give the power to go get information. But I'm putting it for me. Intellect. Mm-hmm. Intuition. Mm-hmm. Inventory. Mm-hmm. Most people don't want to do no self-inventory, and that's the problem. So you, how can you save me, beloved, when you have specks in your eyes? See, the Bible says that you could tell a tree by its fruit and mm-hmm. a fruit by its tree. So if I'm modeling and exemplifying righteousness, then you're going to want to follow that. I don't even have to tell you to come over here. Mm-hmm. You're going to be like, man, you know what? It's a light on that situation that resonates with me. Let me go see what's going on over here. Mm-hmm. Right?
Let me ask you this, though. So mm-hmm. do they still think that about you, or have they seen through the years that, he's not an atheist. He just doesn't believe what I believe.
You can tell a tree by its fruit mm-hmm. and a fruit by its tree. Mm-hmm. It's one thing if you just stop being a football player. Mm-hmm. Oh, you just, but okay, now when you come over here and you're doing this, the same level of excellence that I do with those other things, I practice that within myself. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. It's a daily work. I'm never there. I've never arrived. You know, healing is a journey. Peace is a journey. Mm-hmm. Growth, these are all journeys. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because everybody looks for something invisible. People say they want houses and cars and money and this and clothes and success. But really they want peace, mm-hmm. love. They want significance. Mm-hmm. And so how can you want peace but you're not a peaceful person?
Right.
How can you want love and you ain't lovable? Mm-hmm. Right? You want joy, but you're not joyful? Mm-hmm. So all I do is I tell people to start doing self-inventory. And that's what made me grow. Because even for me, when I first became aware of this, and that's why I don't blame a person who's excited about their path mm-hmm. and they want to tell everybody about it, because I used to be that way. Mm-hmm. I used to want to scream from the mountaintops that, hey, y'all, come on, wake up. Come over here. Live like me. Think like me. Be like me. But when you really transcend, you recognize that It's only the elect. Many are called, few are chosen.
And everybody's path is different, right?
Everybody's path is different.
Everybody's path is different.
And so, like I said, many are called, few are chosen. I didn't make that up.
So you went off to the NFL. Mm-hmm. How long did you play?
I was a journeyman. I played for 11 teams in 10 years.
Wow.
5 NFL, 5 CFL, and 1 arena team. Mm-hmm. Because of what I just told you before, mm-hmm. when you go as a free agent,
wow!
You know now.
So, if you 11 teams in 10 years,
yeah.
You have to probably live with a certain level of anxiety every night, not knowing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not knowing what tomorrow would bring, and also not being able to really sow a foundation anywhere because you don't know what tomorrow brings.
When you say nomadic. I'm still nomadic to this day. I already high energy, so I already don't like to sit in one place for a long time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's me anyway. Mm-hmm. But then you're promoting that with the NFL. I call, how free can I be with Lane?
Very free.
Okay, so I call NFL niggas for lease because mm-hmm. they used to sell slaves, not at lease them.
That's right.
I played in the CFL as well, and we used to call that the Can't Fund It League. Mm. I was the highest paid defensive player in Canada at one point. And I might have been making $400,000. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. That ain't no I'm finna retire off this money.
Right.
Come
right.
on, bro. Right. Not to a person just hearing $400,000 to most people, they're like, oh man.
But all the people that had to be paid from that $400,000.
And I just had a foreclosure on my house mm-hmm. that I bought when I was 21. Mm. And come on, I had credit card debt from my agents. And I'm glad I listened to my mom, but now really I should have went on ahead and got it now that I think about it. But she told me they were offering me money, but it was in the form of credit cards based on my draft status. But my mom told me to take half of what they were offering. But now I know what I know. I wish I would have taken the whole thing. Especially since I had to go through a foreclosure and deal with all that credit card stuff. So yeah, I've been there.
One of the challenges I have too is when we have the rookies, the 21-year-olds that come out, they're given a large amount of money that they're not used to, even if it is $400,000, right? For a 21-year-old with no financial management, they think that they're rich. They're buying their mama this, their daddy that, their brothers, cousins. Did you find yourself in that realm where you thought, hey, this is going to be unlimited money and mm-hmm. I just want to just buy the world?
Well, I wasn't gifted with having a big signing bonus. I started making most of my money at the end of my career, mm-hmm. you know, because at the beginning of my career, I was running around.
How do you, let me just,
trying to make a team. A lot,
but how did you not have bitterness?
Oh, I had bitterness.
Yeah, I can just imagine with you knowing that who you were, what you deserved.
I had major bitterness.
You seeing these guys making
like major M's. And I know I'm head and shoulders better than you, and so do you.
Right. And then naturally, football and basketball players have a certain edge about them anyway, and they're quick. I tell Fonz, take a minute. He used to play basketball. I'm better than everybody in the room. I'm like, Fonz, calm down now. Right. But that's just something that's there. That athletes
But see,
have.
like it's one thing for Fonz to say he's better. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, go look at the tape, though.
You said, let me see these numbers. Yeah, let me see these numbers. Let me see these tapes.
Men and women lie and talk.
Right.
But them numbers don't lie. Mm-hmm. And that film don't lie. Mm-hmm. So it's like, even if a person ain't making numbers, when I'm watching games now, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that boy, he can go.
So there was bitterness there, right?
Yeah, I did. I did have that. And I let that go. Once again, it was at every new level, you have to do another level of self-inventory. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, okay, in high school, I'm mad at my high school coach, and I'm mad at, you know, they I can't believe that they didn't give me a full ride to a bigger school. Mm-hmm. Okay, but then I get to Cookman, I make the best. Now I'm mad, oh man, my agent, oh man, TV, or oh man, like, they hating on the level of competition. Why they doing me like this?
Mm-hmm. That's internal. And what I tell people, winners don't look at themselves. I mean, don't look at others, they look at themselves.
Okay.
So I think about that a little bit when we talk about the Cat Williams interview that just happened. Mm-hmm. Love Cat, mm-hmm. right? But everybody else was the reason why his career wasn't where it needed to be versus Cat. Mm-hmm. What could you have done differently? I'm real big on, and I love Cat, by the way.
Yeah, so do I. And I'm glad he did what he did.
You glad? You think the exposure to the, so what is it that you were glad about? You felt like what needed to come out of that?
I think that we're just in a time of awakening. And people lifting the veil and people seeing beyond the smoke and mirrors that we've been programmed mm-hmm. and conditioned and downloaded to get. Mm-hmm. I think that we're in a time where you see a lot of celebrities talking about the financial things that they've dealt with in the industry. Mm-hmm. You see people talking about it in sport. You see people talking about it in politics. I call it politics.
Mm-hmm. And you also see the wickedness.
You see it.
The wickedness. This is the thing. You know, we, being in the industry, know it's there, but it was taboo to talk about.
So let me ask you this, though, E. Why is it that when you talk truth and it's connected to righteousness, then you are blacklisted? If you talk against wickedness, I mean, you're blacklisted. So now you have to stay in the middle in between and play cat and mouse. And not tell the truth. Is that divine? No. So
it's a game, though.
It's a game. And I don't mind being a spook that sat by the door. But okay. I've been that too long. I've been a spook that sat by the door.
So you think Cat was right? You think that Cat was right for coming in there and laying it out on the line?
I think that I can appreciate him being truthful and sharing the information.
His truth. Right. His truth, though. Because he saw a lot of what everybody else did to him. But you and I both know, though, Stevie, in any situation, we also have a role in.
Oh, absolutely. Hold on. Let me put the car in reverse.
Okay.
So I had to say this, too. I don't veto for anybody, any man. I mm-hmm. veto for myself and the Most High. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm not casting a vote for nobody. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate people that share truth, though, even if it's only their truth. Because let me tell you about truth.
Okay.
If you're looking at a six and I'm looking at a nine, mm-hmm. that you telling me your truth is a six, I'm telling you my truth is a nine. Mm-hmm. So people often say, that's your side, my side, and the truth. I'm telling you it's your truth, my truth, and the facts.
And in some cases, let me be honest, there are truths. There is a fact, right?
Right.
How, just because the way you perceived it doesn't mean that just... Because I think that's how some people get off on life by saying, that's my truth, that's how I perceive it. That's how you perceive the boo, but that's still not the truth.
It's not. So it's right? their truth. And I'm telling you, the nine is my truth, the six is your truth. The fact is that it's a nine, mm-hmm. a number though.
So the truth not a is nine, a nine. Sorry.
The fact is that it's a number.
It's a number.
That's the fact.
Right.
It's this. It's a number six to you, and it's a number nine to but me. But let me but tell it's you something.
But if he wrote the number down, and if he wrote nine, and because I'm dyslexic and I saw six,
okay,
I am wrong. It may be my truth, but I am wrong.
So and that's what I'm saying. That's why I told you earlier. I no longer care to be right. Mm-hmm. I just care to be righteous.
Righteous.
See, that's what I'm saying. Because righteousness don't even get in no debate about that.
It just
that's
is.
Your six, bro. And you got it, homie.
Right.
Because you know what I'm saying? An eagle can come down to where a chicken at, but a chicken can't never go up to where an eagle at.
That's right. Let me ask you this. Let's talk about finding love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How long have you been married?
I've been married my whole life.
Your whole life.
You know why?
Why?
Because I'm married to my purpose. See, okay. That's the problem. I will never love or give an oath to anything outside of me. That's not even spirit. That's not even biblical.
Mm-hmm.
You should put no man, no idol before what? Before God.
Before the Most God. High. But okay, so when did you have, okay, so your wife. When did you and your wife engage in marriage?
I don't want to talk about that. Because I don't think that matters. I'm going to ask you questions.
Okay.
All right. And I just want you to, you know, hey. So what is marriage to you? What do you consider, like, what validates a marriage to you?
Well, you know, marriage is when you and a partner have decided to say, we are in this together. It's going to be me, and in the traditional marriage, it's going to be me and you. We're going to build a family
Hold
together.
Hold on, let's back up. Because I love that word, traditional.
Traditional.
What do you consider traditional?
Traditional is husband and wife.
Okay.
One.
Okay.
And then the kids.
Okay. So that's traditional. That's European traditional. Is it safe to say that?
It's safe to say that.
Okay. So why don't we go to traditional, indigenous?
And what is
and
that?
And look at it.
What is that?
Well, number one, when you lay down with a person, you're married to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
A ring and a ceremony and a certificate doesn't validate a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is validated by consummation and connection.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to go do extravagant weddings and walk down aisles and listen to pastors who they didn't been divorced, but you gonna marry me. That's crazy.
But you know, so many women feel like they can, because I hear a lot of men saying this today, right? And there's so many women that say, I can change him. I know he feels this way, but I love him and I can change him. And I often tell women from the rip, listen to what he is saying to you. And I think the thing too, Stevie, with in the entertainment industry and in sports, you know, you guys have options out of this wazoo.
Mm-hmm.
Wazoo. So I often tell, we talked about this. This is before all the drama with Diddy and everybody else. So before all the drama with Diddy, I used to always say a lot of people were angry at Diddy because he never married anybody because he had all the different women. I saw it differently because I said if he knew that he was not ready to be with one woman, why should he marry somebody? Now, this is, again, for everyone, this is before I knew about all of the drama that was going on and all this. So I want to make sure I preference that so I don't get a bunch of hate mail.
Right.
But
I
do.
And that's even the sad thing. Like, I want to be even more truthful on this platform with you, sis, but you really, really can't. You really, really can't tell the butt-naked truth because we all know the backlash. But why? So if I'm telling you that marriage is consummation, not a certificate or a ring, so now we both got to count how many people we've been married to.
Mm-hmm.
Baby,
mm-hmm.
Let's have this conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't care about your
degree. And I know for you, out there, you probably been married a lot of times.
Listen, so. You don't know that. You don't know that. You're assuming that. And that's a very safe assumption, though. But you assume it. But at the end of the day, it's a safe assumption. I will say that because I'm always a scholar, you know, and I'm always, you know, in the best light. But I will say that. You know, I do take pride now at this point in my life,
mm-hmm.
turning down more coochie than the average man can get.
Mm-hmm. Because you've realized that actually, what is it all about? Because one of the things,
right.
as a woman, we know that if you want to take a man down, typically that is it. Men typically can't think straight when it comes to that. And even some of the strongest men and powerful men, that is their area where demise starts.
So let me tell you this. The greatest joy I have now is being able to think above the waist and not just below the waist.
Because
mm-hmm. there was a time in my life where I thought just below the waist.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I was higher minded. But anybody who allows their carnality to get in the way of their divinity, they not chosen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't allow that.
But how know? Do you stay? Do you meditate? What is it that keeps you focused?
I do a number of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't meditate like nom yo hei renge kyu or just sit down or yoga or and ain't nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's their path.
That's their path.
Even though I practice yoga,
mm-hmm.
I'm not astral projecting and all that with my chakras and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I go in the woods. I go hike.
Mm-hmm.
I go cycle 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 miles if I need to.
Mm-hmm.
I go to that gym. I go sit in a sauna for an hour, you know, breaks in between,
mm-hmm.
and just release the toxins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're training, most people are working out, but we need to work in.
Mm-hmm.
The gym is guarding your mind.
That's right.
Guarding your ministry, guarding your manhood, guarding your money. So when I'm doing that, if I'm spending 2, 3, 4 hours doing all that stuff, that I stay off that phone. I can disconnect from the cell phone, which is damaging my cells, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Which my cell phone, which is really could be called a jail phone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, most people are imprisonment to it. It's a jail phone for them. Mm-hmm. So this gives me a chance to reset and get back in homeostasis. And so when I get back in balance, now I can get more grounded to make sound decisions. Because I deal with carnality just like the next man.
The next one. That's why I said, you know, I think when people try to make it seem as if it's easy, it's not.
No, it's not easy.
It's
I got a twig and berries.
That's why you got like, these little balls in your hand, right?
Working the opposite side
right,
of the brain.
And making your, yeah.
Being able to say, you know what, hold on, I'm greater than this moment right
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a beautiful place to be in for me. I'm thankful.
What's on your necklace?
This is Yahweh.
Okay.
This is the Hebrew name of God.
God.
Yud-Heh-Waveh.
Okay.
And this is something that was very important to me because Yeshua, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
said, don't worship me, worship my Father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeshua says, I come in my Father's name. Well, what's the Father's name? Yeshua. Well, when I found out it was
Yahweh.
Oh, it changed my life.
Yes.
When I found out that the letter J was created in the 1500s.
Yes, after... Yeah, right.
And you're telling me a 2,000-year-old story,
mm-hmm.
and you're telling me it's power in the name. So what is the name then?
Did you watch Book of Clarence?
I never seen Book of Clarence.
Okay, so I think it comes out actually on the 12th of this month, I believe, because I've seen the previews. I mean, I actually saw the premiere.
Right.
Jay-Z and Lil Wayne and so forth, executive producer. I will say, I want to talk to you after you watch it because it is...
Yeah, I want to see that because I'm very interested... And when you can tell a tree by its fruit, so I want to see what mm-hmm. kind of fruit that's bearing,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you know, at the end of the day, if I'm saying I'm an apple tree and I'm bearing oranges, then we got to start having a conversation.
But, yep.
So you know, the imagery, images control the imagery, the mm-hmm. imagination,
mm-hmm.
the visualization. So whoever controls the mind controls the man by the images and by the symbols and by the things that we've been taught or given.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest thing to do is to get rid of a seed that's been well planted in your brain. So that's why so many people, even though they're called, they won't step into chosenness, because there's so many blockages. The food is a blockage. If the food is dead, the TV's dead, the religions are dead, the music is dead, the governments are dead, the education systems are dead. Mm-hmm. And if you think I'm lying, just go look at the stats. How many of our people are killing one another left and right? Melanated people and other people included. Mm-hmm. But we just do it at a greater rate because we do everything at a greater rate. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be over here at a greater rate too.
Mm-hmm. How did you pivot from sports into acting?
Wow. Dang, we going to take me from all the way over there, E? Mm-hmm.
How did you pivot?
I'm saying, I think that this was a very important thing though.
Okay.
Because the acting piece and the football piece, that's just the draw. That's just the stage.
Just to bring people in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we know that you're enamored by anything that is pop culture.
Okay.
So we use pop culture to draw you in, to tell
you
the truth.
So you think that's why the Most High made you that?
Absolutely.
So that people can see that.
Absolutely.
And then they'll come in and get to know more.
Yes.
About.
Because football was my choice that I loved, that I wanted to do. But I have no clue. No clue that I would be acting on the same sets as people who went to school for this.
Right.
You know, and doing damn well, if you ask me.
So how did you do? I mean, how did you pivot into that, though, Stevie? I mean, you seem to be able to get into things that, again, the average everyday person, that we said you knew from a child that you were favored.
Yes.
Right? How? Think about how many actors, I mean, how many football players have tried. You know, most can become, not even most, become commentators. Like,
That's another thing. That's another ceiling. Only, like, when you're a Hall of Fame guy or Hall of Fame guy or X amount of Pro Bowls or white backup quarterback, which they let a lot of them in, mm-hmm. then do nothing on the field but, you know. And this is not about race, because mm-hmm. I'm so beyond race, mm-hmm. but.
It's just the facts.
It's just the facts of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so I was actually waiting on a call before I got signed to the Ravens. I was doing I was a free agent, and I was waiting on a call, and one of my buddies said, hey, man, they doing a football show movie and at Clark mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. called Necessary Roughness, mm-hmm. and they looking for real football players to come. So I came on set, and I was a background actor. And one day, they stood me next to the main character. Mm-hmm. And the producer must have saw my look or saw me and was like, hey, would you be interested in reading for a part? Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the rest is history. Now, prior to that, that was my first true speaking opportunity mm-hmm. on Necessary Reference. And I got it from being a background actor. And so, yeah, I mean, that's how I got into business. Mm-hmm.
And then you had the bug. The bug, you caught the bug from that, and you decided, I want to stay down this path.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And now, knowing what I know, it's because it's a conduit. And I've known this for a long time, because I knew football was just a conduit, just a bridge.
To attract.
To bring them in. Mm-hmm. And so many people are enamored with pop culture, though, and that's why there's certain ceilings that are put on people that have a certain level of truth that they're going to share.
Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself as a marketplace minister?
What is more marketplace?
So more so from a perspective of, you are not in the pulpit or in the synagogue or anywhere like that.
Yeah.
You are in the industry, in your places, yeah. and you are bringing people into your belief by doing what you do. You attract people, and then you educate the people and hope to change the people.
I love the way you put it. I don't want to be in a pulpit. I don't want to pull anybody into a pit. Mm-hmm. I'm here to lift the Most High up. Mm-hmm. Why would I want to pull them into a pit? No, I'm not in a synagogue because I'm not here to sin. Mm. I'm not in the mosque because I don't have on a mask. I'm coming to you butt naked truth to tell you that you have an anointing in you. That your name is Ebony Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm Stevie Christ. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, at the end of the day, when we start finding out our anointing is powerful, then we won't be limited by anything external. We won't be limited by those things that, you know, try to confine you. And so football was really that conduit. And then moving into TV film, it was like, if you don't have, and this is going to be funny, but if you don't have, especially to melanated people, mm-hmm. if you don't have a European car, a European house, a European money in your pocket, mm-hmm. European degree on your wall, mm-hmm. or even a European woman, I would say that too. Mm-hmm. Your people are not going to listen to you.
That's unfortunate.
Now, am I lying? Mm-mm. I won't take you serious if you don't pull up in that foreign car. Mm. I'm going to look at you differently if you don't have on a rolly. Right? And it's like, hold up. How can you tell me about wealth when you're not looking like wealth? Mm-hmm. But I'm saying wealth is not just external. And I think that's the problem. We put too much wealth in external things instead of the internal things. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm vibrating on a high frequency and my health is good, that's my greatest wealth ever.
It is. It is. So what do you think, though, Stevie, is the end goal for you, though? What is it that you think will constitute success? That I came and I lived. So at the end, when the dash has the date, mm-hmm. what would be a completion of Stevie Bags?
I'm forever. Mm-hmm. That's what it would mean. Like, to be forever.
Well, when you touch
to
somebody,
be infinite.
When you engage with somebody, how should they feel when they leave from an experience of Stevie Bags?
Like I said, infinite. They should feel inspired.
Okay.
Cause I feel inspired. Mm-hmm. If I'm stopping to share and have a conversation and talk with you, mm-hmm. there's something about you too that inspires me. Mm-hmm. Because iron sharpens iron, mm-hmm. steel sharpens steel, and wheel sharpens wheel. So when you're connected with people who you vibrate on a similar frequency and we can have intellectual banter, mm-hmm. that to me is like, oh, let's go.
But how do you find most people in your circle? Because most people out here just don't, I'm not going to say don't get it, but even just don't desire. Mm-hmm.
They don't get it because people want to be comfortable, and comfortability is easy. Right. But the truth hurts.
It does.
We were talking about the truth earlier. Yeah. Right? And I made a joke. If you tell me my breath stink, you're like, Stevie, this is the truth. But mm-hmm. dang, that hurt my feelings. Or that, but it's right. liberating. Now right. I'm liberated from having stank breath.
Right. Right.
So please give me the truth. Even if it's your truth, I'll take the meat and leave the bones. Mm-hmm. If you would.
Yep.
Right. And now I know how to put it in perspective and use it as a tool belt for my journey. Mm-hmm. So the Bible also says through the paths of righteousness. Mm-hmm. It don't say path.
Mm-hmm. Paths.
It's plural. And if y'all don't believe me, just look it up.
Mm-hmm. Do you still use the Bible today?
Absolutely. Okay. I absolutely use it because the Bible is stated truly. It's just not truly stated.
So the Bible is truthful. But the men who interpret the Bible is where you have your challenges.
And the people that have rewritten it. Because mm-hmm. in Hebrew, it may be a word that doesn't mean the same in English. And if mm-hmm. you hear it in English, then your interpretation of it is going to be different. Even if the Hebraic version is not what you resonate with, just at least be open to get a dimension mm-hmm. of looking at it from another dimension. Mm-hmm. We're not even open to look at it from another dimension. How can that be God when God is omnipresent? God is in that dimension and this dimension. God created light and darkness. God created the devil, right? Mm-hmm. Do we ever ask for that? Man, why would the Most High create his own enemy? Mm-hmm. I'm here to evoke, invoke, and provoke people to think. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to think like me. I just want you to think like me. I decided to think. That's what changed my life. Mm-hmm. I decided to say, no, I have to, no. It was wild to me growing up in church when they would take that pomponian oil and put a cross over your third eye. You would literally want to close my third eye off. That was wild to me.
And let's talk about the third eye.
Yeah.
So what does the third eye represent to you?
Your spirit, your intuition, mm-hmm. your clairvoyance, your discernment. Mm-hmm. That's what your third eye
do you
is
believe,
to me.
Do you believe that everyone has a third eye? Or do you believe the chosen?
Oh, no, everybody. Every soul has one.
Some people's eyes are open and some are closed. So,
and some people's open theirs up, and then it's too, the light is too bright, and then they close it back down.
What do you mean too bright?
So if you hear, if I tell you, give you an example. Mm-hmm. If I say Easter bunnies don't lay eggs, chickens lay eggs, and you still do Easter egg hunts, and you're like, oh, dang, that makes sense. Dude, that is true. And you still do Easter egg hunts, then let me put the light back down.
Okay.
If I tell you respell Santa is Satan, and you still have Christmas trees in your house, then I can't do anything about that. I have to leave you where you are and leave you on your journey. Mm-hmm. Right? Because I'm not here to convince, convert, or coerce anybody to think like me. I am here to convince you to think like me. When you decide to think, not what to think, but how to think, then you'll be able to say, man, why is the calendar, this Roman calendar, how could it be the new year when the calendar's off? How's it off? Well, everything sept is seven. Sept is seven. Everything eight is usually octo, octagon, octopus. That's October. Nine is Nino, Nueve, Nif. It's nine. Why is the November 11? Why is October 10? Why is September? Because Julius Caesar, July, Caesar Augustus, August, they added their own month in the calendar of the year. And people, how can the deadest time of the year be the new year? We got to just rethink and look at it. When you're springing into something, that's when you're a new year, when the sun is out, when it's beaming, when I can plant some seeds and I can harvest them and they can go. In Hebrew, there's a word called Abib. It says the new year is in between March and April. Now, I don't know if the reason why they call people April Fools in April is because of that, but I don't know. It may be something to research. April Fools.
Because the reality of it is, where did April Fools come from?
April Fools, just like where did Halloween come from, just like where did everything I just gave you. Ishtar came from somewhere. Easter is Ishtar, the sex goddess. How can we have Easter egg hunts at our churches and not know what this is? It's talking about a fertility goddess. That's the derivative of this
and
thing.
And that's where the eggs.
Come on.
But so where did it? And I guess the rabbit.
I forgot the bunny, where the rabbit.
Because, you know, bunnies are known as sexual, too.
They are. They're very sexual beings.
Right.
And all that. But it's all about that fertility. But what are you birthing? What are we birthing? Right?
Even at the churches when there's the trunk or treat, why are you still celebrating Halloween, which you know that is a Satan's day?
I passed by churches and I seen scarecrows in the. I'm like, that represents death. That represents being empty. You're literally putting rituals on your whole ministry. And like it's like I can't talk about this without being, and that's what I'm saying. When you go back to the Cat Williams thing, it's like if you see something that doesn't resonate with you and you talk about it, then if it goes against people who are in power, then you become blacklisted or you become, why are you saying this about, why not? I thought it was a freedom of speech though.
Well, what about Kanye?
I love Kanye too. I love anybody who's telling truth.
The truth teller.
Yes, because I seek truth.
What are your thoughts on Trump?
I just had a thing about Trump. I don't deal in politics. I understand it is right wing, left wing, one bird. I understand that if I want to change something, I have to not participate in it anymore. I understand that. But for people that don't understand that, somebody asked me about my thoughts on Trump versus Biden. And I said, quite simply, I would choose Trump. Because I no longer look for my people, I look for my kind. Not saying he's my kind, but I'm saying that that's where I'm at in my life. Your ethnicity doesn't play a part in this thing anymore. Because when I look at the people who try to kill me the most, I don't have a redneck trying to kill me every day or rob me or Asian person doing that. Not likelihood of that happening is one of my people. I have this. The likelihood is higher that one of my people
black
do that.
Black crime.
Come on. So look at the amount of deaths of us killing each other. The stats out there.
Do you believe that Trump is a truth teller?
I think he does. I think it's a form of what he's saying that is truthful, right? And like I said, like I'm not vetoing any man, right? But I also, because we all have a specs to get out of our eyes. Mm-hmm. So I can't say I'm 100% for this or mm-hmm. Kanye or Cat Williams.
There's
or Trump.
There's pieces about everybody.
I'm not 100% for any other man but myself. Mm-hmm. My son came through me but came from God. So even my son has his own path.
That's right.
Like, come on, man. We got to really, like, overstand that. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, we should look at the word government is to here to govern your mentality. Mm-hmm. They govern over your mental. And I told you earlier, whoever controls the mind controls the man.
That's right.
So who's ever funding your mental in the capitalistic world, the fundamentals, funding your mentality mm-hmm. is usually who's governing your mentality. Mm-hmm. So if I keep you distracted, I will keep you destructed. Right? And that's why I said that the only thing that leads to distraction is destruction.
That's right. What's next for you, Stephen?
I love this question. And because what's next for me is greatness, divinity, peace, power, love, and light. What's next for me, sis, is abundance. You know? Man, truth. That's what's next for me. Mm-hmm. Because being on TV, film, yeah, I have a couple shows coming out. A couple movies just came out. But, you know, being on BMF is great. But if I can't use my platform to help change the thinking of my people, then...
What's the whole point?
What is the whole point for mm-hmm. me? So, yeah, BMF season 3, 6 out of 10 episodes. I'm happy about that. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that this next season of my life, that's what I'm... The next season of my spiritual life is what I'm most impressed by mm-hmm. and happy about.
I know I had planned for our conversation to go a whole nother direction. Mm. And I am very pleased about this one. Because my hope is that people will see this and just think, do their own research, come back with their own assumptions. But the biggest thing is to think, because what I've noticed over the last couple of decades is that the light has been turned off and people no longer think. Mm. Mm. And I'm hoping that this episode would allow them to do that. I want to thank you for coming in here today, Stevie.
Thank you. I appreciate you for giving me this coinology, you know what I mean, and allowing me to platform in the time to breathe with you, because it was a great fellowship.
Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time on Coinology.
Get no money if you constantly worried about what everybody else got to say. If you constantly got your eyes on what everybody else doing, you ain't getting no money. When it comes down to closing a deal, I get it done. Every single one.
Welcome to Coinology, the podcast.